Hi, everybody. Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers out there. I hope you have a truly wonderful day and I hope it's been great so far. I actually was online. Charles and I went online with my mum and sisters and their families for an online lunch, a virtual Mother's Day lunch. And now Charles is on the road out to visit his mum, who is breaking the rules a little bit and seeing a couple of members of her children, just very briefly. So I hope everyone's having a fantastic day out there. Now, first of all, let's go straight to the Trello board and start up with today's agenda. First of all, I wanted to say what great news it is that we've come back to level one. Surprises and champagne corks flowing everywhere, so we can actually get back to some kind of normal routine, normal income, normal rostering of hours, normal patients that have been, you know, seeing patients under a normal situation. So it is tremendously wonderful news. And I do hope that everyone, I'm double checking that I am recording. I do hope, oh, actually, I'm not even screen sharing, so you can't see my agenda. I hope that everyone is getting on board with the seeing of patients. I am still seeing some messages that are coming through of people saying, yes, we're coming on board, but we need to have our full PPE. And it's simply not the case. We're going to go through what level one actually means after I've, you know, gone through and listened to the ADA webinars time and time again and spoken about it with a couple of the other coaching groups that have maintained my services moving through. We've been in heavy discussions around it all to make sure everyone's doing the right thing, of course. And we want to do the right thing. Sorry, I'm rolling around on my chair here. I'm having fun. So we're going to go through what level one operations are. We're going to talk about adding an infection control page to the website. Think about how long it's going to take to recover from this kind of scenario. I'm going to go through the dental practice assessment again because it's worth reminding you guys of the tools that are out there. Have a chat about who our special guest is at our next live session on Wednesday night at 5 o'clock. Remind you about the Facebook group, remind you about the to-do list, and let's have a start of a talk about re-establishing goals if we have time. It's a number of things on the agenda so far. As always, if you have questions or anything throughout, please let me know. Interrupt as often as you like. So the first thing I want to mention is the level one operations. Now I have I got the link to the card there? I do. I've created a card within Trello. It's not found. Oh, I have to link it again. Oh, I know why. I do know why. It didn't link because I copied it and I didn't reshare. Share, copy the link to that card. Come back in here and replace it with that one. Now when I hit that, it should take me straight to the card, which it does. So this card is residing in the doing list. We can now take level two restart pack into the completed column because we don't need to worry about that anymore. So now we're in the middle of doing the level one operation. And this card has a few bits and pieces that I wanted to discuss to make sure everyone's making as full use, as full and safe use of the recommendations by the Australian Dental Association and the government so far. So I think Victoria was the last state to introduce the level one in response to the federal government's directive. So it's wonderful that as of tomorrow onwards, we can start seeing any patient who has their low risk of having COVID-19 and exposure to COVID-19. So what I've done under here, under risk management, I've just copied in what medium and high risk categories are for patients. We can move boldly forward with level one treatments as long as we're seeing low risk patients only. So I think moving forward, just have that general rule in your practice. If you've got a patient that is of medium or high risk, you just don't see them. You reckon if they've got an emergency situation, then you can start wondering about how to see them as the last patient in your day if they're a medium risk and what you need to do, the new parameters around that. Or the additional parameters around seeing medium and high risk patients or sending them, referring them somewhere else. But just have in your mind, we're just going to see healthy patients, patients who aren't exhibiting any health related illnesses, people who are purely low risk. And then we don't have to worry so much about additional PPE. It's standard PPE for low-risk patients. It is in level one restrictions, mean you can do all of the normal treatments and you don't need to use rubber dam. Rubber dam is up to the discretion of the dentist. I think normally it's recommended highly for root canal therapies, but you don't need to use it for fillings and things that are causing aerosols now. If you have any questions around that or doubt me in any way, which I've said in the past, you are more than free to doubt me. Under the docs and links list in your Trello board, there's the ADA webinar from the 8th of May, 2020. The recording link is here. I've recorded it and popped it up in as if it was a screen share through Zoom. So watch it there. If you like, you can hear all of the assurances from the infection control, Sharon, whatever her name is, and Professor Laurie Walsh as well. So they're both talking about it, so you can feel quite calm. The other thing that I've attached to within there is the decision tree. The decision tree that the ADA organised in preparation for level one. And you'll see there, we're going to continue patient triage by phone when people ring up for an appointment time. If they are low risk, that is that they have no epidemiological and or clinical risk factors, then we can treat under standard precautions plus use of the pre-procedural mouth rinse, so that's going to continue, and the ABHR for patients. Social distancing in the waiting room, limit high touch items that cannot be easily cleaned, such as toys and magazines in the waiting room. If you, after triaging the patient, they're found to have a positive COVID-19 test, or a high risk, or moderate risk, then these are the precautions to take. If you're not seeing medium and high risk patients, then you're only seeing low risk patients, this is all you need to worry about. Treat under standard precautions. And standard precautions means standard PPE. We do not need surgical gowns. We do not need respirator masks. So that's all found under docs and links list down the bottom here. Actually, I'll drag it up to the top so it's at the very top there. The other thing within the COVID-19 level one operation are other things that we need to do. So we no longer need to temperature check. This is something that Sharon had mentioned within the ADA webinar, that the temperature checking of the one that doesn't quite touch the skin, that one is not appropriate anymore. Then if you're going to temperature check in any way, it's the one into the ear that you need to do, which means then the little cap that goes into the ear, you need to buy a whole bunch of those, sterilize those, and how are we going to make sure that we're keeping up with our infection control procedures with that item. And so it's going to be something that they discuss over the coming week within their infection control committee. But at this stage, we don't have to temperature check. So I've taken that off. You see here the COVID-19 safety protocol updated today, the 10th of May. I've taken that element out because they are not suggesting it at the moment. Standard use of rubber dam, that's under root canals or by discretion of the practitioner, but simply because you're creating aerosols in the patient's mouth, you do not now need to use rubber dam. Level one does not require that of you. Standard PPE, the standard level two mask, gloves, protective eyewear, better yet if it touches the skin around and doesn't have this gap here. Mask, standard mask, dispose after every single patient, and your standard uniform. And it's always good to have a uniform or a cover that you use inside the surgery and you take it off when you're outside of the surgery having lunch or going home or whatever. No need for distancing inside the surgery because you've got your PPE on, the distancing issues aren't an issue when you're in the surgery. However, you still need distancing in the non-PPE wearing people. So we are still going to be restricting the number of people coming into the practice. So not a lot of reps and visitors coming with patients. We want just the patient and any other essential person only to come in for their appointment times. Encourage them to still wait in the car park if you've got that system down pat. Otherwise, spread your waiting room furniture out so they're 1.5 metres apart. still don't display magazines, toys, anything that they're going to pick up and touch, tea making facilities, for example, the water flask and cups, get rid of all of that still for the moment. We're still reducing the amount of contamination that's going on when people just bring any germs into the practice. We're also continuing to do the environmental cleaning after every patient. So once a patient has entered and left, then go around with the antibacterial wipes or whatever wipes are suggested. I've got it written down in one of the previous notes of what type of wipes to use. Door handles, toilet if they've used the bathroom, surgery handles, sit, know where the patient, be aware of where the patient does touch when they're lying back in the chair, whether it's down the side on the cushiony part of the chair, the armrest of the chair, etc. Wipe all of these surfaces down. The EPOS machine, the front desk, keep thinking where are the patients touching, that's where you do the environmental cleaning. Continued hand sanitizer at the front door, they're still recommending that. And if you've got the system where they're coming straight from the car park, hand sanitizer straight into the dental chair, that's groovy. If they're waiting in the waiting room, maintaining their social distancing, then when they do eventually come into the surgery, get them to wash their hands at the surgery sink as well with detergent. So there we go, continued hand washing of patient in surgery. Hand washing of patient, the way I've written that, it's like we're washing the whole patient's body down. That's a different kind of appointment time. And also continued waiting room precautions, as I mentioned earlier. The other thing I've written here within this card is a modification of the content that you can load up to your Facebook site, up to your website. Sorry if you can hear gurgling in the background, that's lunch dishes getting washed in the dishwasher. So we have great news. Given the progress that Australia has made to ensure COVID-19 has as small an impact as possible on our communities, dental restrictions have been lifted to level one. This is active immediately. Level one means we are available to our patients for whatever treatment they require. Our practice is going to maintain two protocols to further ensure the safety of our patients and staff. Protocol number one, we ask that patients who have had any symptoms of illness continue to refrain from attending our clinic. Protocol number two, we will continue with the additional infection control measures listed below. Do not bring additional people to your appointment. Wait in your car in our car park and we will come and collect you when it is time to take you through to the surgery. Use the provided hand sanitizer upon entrance into the practice and environmental cleaning after each patient. Our team have started contacting all patients who had to defer their treatment and are rescheduling their appointments. We will be leaving spaces in our schedule for patients experiencing an emergency. Please do not hesitate to call us to discuss your particular situation. Thank you for working with us during this challenging time. We are so appreciative of your support, wishing you all health and happiness. Feel free to use that word for word if you like, and post that up on Facebook. Remember, when you're posting these sort of alerts about your practice to Facebook, there's an area where you can pin that post to the top of the page. So even when you put your Mother's Day message and whatever else, your standard posting, the top one there will always be the one that you want them to read when you pin it. And then when it becomes irrelevant anymore or updated, you unpin it. And I can show you, actually I don't have my Facebook open, I can't show you straight away, but there's on the post itself, on the upper right-hand corner, there's three dots. Click on the three dots there, that's where you'll see pin post to the top of page or something, it will say something like that. The other things that we need to take into consideration with the level one operations is, and we've gone through the PPE required, remember, the Australian Dental Association have been in consistent and constant meetings with all the powers that be. So when they are assessing everything and they know more about everything than we do. So if they have put out a recommendation of standard PPE at level one restrictions, then do it. There is no reason to go to the expense and additional cost of time to get the gown, the surgical gowns, and the respirator masks. Now remember, the respirator masks are only effective if you've had them fit checked and additionally fit tested. So sometimes we can think we just keep layering more and more things on top of one another and we're going to feel really safe. It's important to watch those ADA webinars. And if you haven't got access to them, because only ADA members have access to them, let me know. I've got access to all of them. And just as I have attached under that top card within Docs and Links list, just as I've attached the latest recording there, I didn't bother doing it for all the recordings because I didn't think the rest of them would be watched because they're not relevant to today. You just want to be aware of what's relevant to today. If you've been on the journey with them, that's great because you've just educated yourself more so around infection control and PPE. So I encourage all of you, just as I encourage my other clients, to trust in what the ADA message is, trust their recommendations and guidelines, and just use the PPE that they say is required. Don't go to additional time, cost, and worry that you can't get access to these additional PPEs when you don't actually need them. So use their direction. Environmental cleaning, we've spoken about that. There's going to be a crossover period where we're kind of working as normal, but we're still doing all these additional bits and pieces to make sure that everyone's really safe. This lends itself as well to get your patients to feel comfortable to come in. And I mentioned either in the last or the one before that live session that you don't want to be doing over the top stuff to make sure patients are comfortable, such as greeting them at the front door with the hand sanitizer. And as I said before, washing their bodies down, you don't want to go over the top. You want to have enough additional infection control procedures going on, that you're adhering to all the Australian Dental Association guidelines, that you're making your team feel that they're safe turning up to work and dealing with patients, and that makes your patients feel safe coming in. However, if your patients were coming in and you were head to toe in hazmat suits, that would put fear in the patient's mind and fear in your team's mind as well. So you want to be on that balance. You want to be doing enough but not going over the top. You want to be doing what's deemed to be adequate, deemed to be acceptable, what is recommended by the Australian Dental Association. If you continue to go over the top, you may actually be sending an inaccurate message to patients that it's unsafe to turn up to your dental surgery, and you certainly don't want that. As we've mentioned in the past, there's going to be a couple of groups of people that already are reticent about returning. That is people that still don't have a job and they're just trying to put food on the table and have their bills met, and they don't have additional money to spend on dental like they used to. And the other group are ones that are immunocompromised and elderly, that they still possibly will choose to self-isolate until things are really, really back to normal for general society. And so you don't want to then put the message out to your broader community and your broader patient base that you should still be worried to come to the dentist, because there is no need for them to be. It's never going to be 100% safe. It has never been 100% safe. But what we have done as a dental community here in Australia, as with many countries around the world, we have managed to see patients on a regular basis, the thousands of practices that are here in this country, without being the cause of transmission for Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, AIDS, hepatitis B, COVID-19, and many other illnesses and diseases that are out there that can be contracted. So we've all always had that very high level. So we should be able to go into our teams and face our patients with complete confidence that they are safe here. The level one operations, I did want to bring your attention to the ADA webinar. So do look at that whenever you have questions. If your team have questions, I really think it's vital that your team see that webinar. You want everyone to be on the same page. The last thing you want is for them, because they are uneducated around what's going on right now and what's required right now, that they think their bosses are putting money ahead of their safety and not getting additional levels of PPE because they just are cheap. You don't want that kind of perception or anything like that going on. And it's simply not the case. That's not the intention of any of the practice owners at the moment, because they've got the ability to see patients understanding PPE. So get your whole team, if they're not haven't already, I would encourage to get your whole team to watch that, and they don't have to have access to your login for the ADA. You can just, this is a Zoom share screen share recording of that very meeting. So you can just copy that link and email it out or send it by SMS to all your team members. The treatments that can be performed, as we said before, you can perform all the treatments, all of them, all the very many treatments, as long as you're just seeing low-risk patients. Standard use of rubber dam, as we've mentioned before as well. Now, with your staffing can be a bit of an issue. We've had some practices that have kept their staff on regardless throughout this whole period. They have practiced social distancing inside the surgery. Some of them have done a split between working in the practice and at home online. And others, the other end of the extreme of the spectrum, have been practices that thought this was going to go on for a lot longer and actually let their staff members go. And now, quicker than what we thought, we're back on deck and they're like, now I've got no staff. So do make sure you're getting all your staff ducks in a row. The ones that were let go, there's every likelihood that they didn't get another position somewhere else. So contact them. Do what you can to bring your staff fully back on board. Because even though we have got some people that won't be able to turn up and choose not to turn up at the moment, I think because there will be a bit of a backlog, I think you will be busy enough to accommodate your staff members. Now, we have been doing, I think many of you have been putting little gaps in between your level two patients to make time for the environmental cleaning that goes on after each patient. So I think 15 minutes, what it's been my experience with a couple of the on-site clients that I go to, that the 15 minutes is a little bit too long. So you could either jump from surgery to surgery. However, with this level one, you can actually have both surgeries working because inside the surgery, they don't have to practice social distancing because of their PPE. It will just be about staggering lunch breaks. And so you're not having everybody in the lunchroom together. Or you're not having, and do make sure that you've got patients waiting in the car park, so you're not having too many patients in the waiting room either. That will lend itself to help the patients feel a bit more safe as well. Some of the software systems allow you to adjust how your appointment book appears. I know Dental for Windows, it comes out default that it's broken up into 15-minute gaps. You can change that to 10-minute gaps or 5-minute gaps. You can put additional moments in between each appointment time, so you're not actually allocating a full 15 minutes for the surgery breakdown. If you've got enough staff and it warrants it, if you've normally had a steri nurse, maybe have the steri nurse come in and help and get the changeover done a bit more quickly. I have mentioned before, and I'm just going to do the additions because I've got the little piece of paper in my office over there and not right in front of me. So let's just say for a standard practice that's turning over 450 an hour per practitioner. And we're going to divide that by four, and we have per 15 minutes is $112.50. I'm going to times that by 5 working days in the week, and I'm going to times that by 48 working weeks let's go 47 working weeks. So we've got 4 weeks holiday and a week of public holidays. So times by 47 equals, if you lose 15 minutes a day, every day for the whole year for one practitioner, it's $26,000. It balloons out enormously. What I'm not saying is that we're better off earning $26,000 than maintaining the safety of the patients and the staff. That's absolutely not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we need to be aware of that figure so we understand the impact those 15 minutes have. And if we've got the capacity to be able to shorten that because we are actually hanging around waiting for the next patient to come because it doesn't take us 15 minutes to wipe down everything once it becomes systemized, then start structuring your appointment book a little bit differently, quite possibly. Maybe you could say to your patients that your appointment time is at 11, but if you turn up at 10 to 11, we're likely to be running early for you. So do what you can to reduce down the impact of downtime. Your proper safety and infection control procedures need to be rolled out. Time yourselves as to how long it does take, and then only allow that time in between each appointment time. Okay, dokie. The other thing I wanted to mention around for your information for your receptionists, when you're scheduling your patients, and so you have a list of patients, you kept it in some kind of order, I'm sure, of patients that had to defer their treatment. Plus, you've got patients possibly coming in level two that you're like, we can't do that treatment today, but we'll put you on the list to call once we can. And you've got patients that are just ringing spontaneously like they normally do because they have spontaneous issues come up in their mouth. When you're booking appointment times, what I encourage you to do is to, it's going to be a lengthier conversation anyway, because you're going to be going through, do you have any signs of symptoms or illness symptoms or whatever? Can you wait in the car park until we give you a call to come on through calls when you arrive? When you come in, I'm going to get you to use the hand sanitizer, so you'll see that there at the front, and then we're going to take you straight through to the surgery. So you're going to be telling them all of these things. It's going to be a lengthier conversation anyway. And I don't want your receptionist to feel overwhelmed by the number of people that they're calling. As long as they're booking in more patients than they're seeing on that day, you're going to be having this constantly growing appointment book. We don't want to have a receptionist being told, we want you to call these 50 patients today. Otherwise, the quality of the phone call goes down because she's rushed and overwhelmed. Plus, certain elements, important elements of that phone call may be missed because she's rushed and overwhelmed. So do be aware that we want to have these sort of important tasks done effectively, because we want to only see low risk. We don't want to run the risk of getting a medium or high risk patient into the surgery. We want to just continue working the way we used to with added precautions on low risk patients. And I want the receptionist to feel excited about these phone calls rather than, oh my God, what a huge laborious task. So don't say, here's your long list, just take your time with it. Talk about it amongst the both of you. You know, you're no longer having patients in the waiting room chatting, so you've got a little bit extra time, so that's a good thing. So what if we get you to do 10 calls a day? What if we get you to do 15 calls a day? We've got the other staff as well that aren't as busy just yet, so they're going to help you with the phone calls. Let's get a script happening that has all those key points of information that we want to share with the patient. But then with all of these patients being booked in from today going off into the future, say, if we get a sooner appointment time available, we'll give you a call. And those ones that you've said that to, flag them off. In, again, I say Jennifer Windows because I use it all the time. And so it's one system that I know very well. And I think it's under category. You can change it as a different color. And that one color means if a sooner appointment time comes up, this person can come in sooner. And then you don't have to be reading from the list and you don't have to write everything down on the list. You can just click one thing on the appointment time and then all of a sudden, boom, there it is. And so the minute you get a gap in your book, you're scrolling through the days. Oh, there's a yellow. We'll bring that one in. Why I'm saying that is an important step to take now is because of the chances of having late cancellations is higher now, because when patients in the past have said, I'm feeling a bit under the weather, I've got an appointment time today, I'm not quite sure if I'm going to make it. In the past, many coaches would have suggested to you, well, look, we've got masks on, so we're comfortable. So if you can try to make your appointment time, that'd be great. So we're trying to encourage people to come in unless there's really dire situations. It's a different story now. Now, when people say, I'm a bit under the weather, our response is, not a drama. You can cancel late notice, not a problem at all. We don't want you here. We want you home safe, and we want to remain safe so we can keep seeing patients. So that, in that sense, question, talk as a group about what you're going to do with your late cancellation fees. I don't believe late cancellation fee for feeling unwell can be done at the moment. It's not the world to do that right now. It's my suggestion that you don't charge that and you don't try to encourage sick people to come in. So what you want instead is a response, as another system that helps mitigate the loss of that lost appointment time, which is a whole list of patients in your appointment book all flagged off as yellow. So the minute the patient says at 8 a.m. or 9 a.m, I don't feel well enough to come to my 2 o'clock appointment time, you say, no dramas, we'll book you in a month, see how you're feeling then, And then you go through, where's my first yellow one that I can bring in forward? And if that one can't come in, I've got another 20 to choose from. So it's not like a cancellation list. It's a cancellation list plus. It's a whole bunch of patients that could, if they were called, come in sooner. Keep in mind the amount of people that aren't going to work at the moment, or they're working from home, so they're freer with their time. So they would be able to come in at the drop of a hat. So that's what I encourage you to do. So when you're scheduling the appointment times, script up, if you want a script of what to say to patients, and I might add it to this card anyway, of what you can say, you can just give this script to your nurses and receptionists or whoever's doing the phone calls. This is a script to use. And part of that's going to be, don't say, would you like to come in sooner if you could? Just say, I'm going to flag you off as having it, wanting a sooner appointment time if it came available. Because keep in mind, when we're bringing a backlog of patients, they're not all going to be fit in for the next, in the next 2 weeks. They're going to be booking in soon, in 3 weeks' time, 4 weeks' time, 5 weeks' time. Also have that discussion with your receptionist and whoever's making these phone calls of how we're going to space those appointment times out. So possibly you might say, we don't want two extractions in a row. Or you might say, I don't want a whole day of recalls because they're all in backlog as well. We're going to have 4-6 recalls a day. We're going to have the crown work in the morning. So this is where you can start to have a bit of control over the templating of your appointment book to make sure that we're not going into overwhelm and stress and anxiety as a dental team job trying to get through everything. So every patient gets asked the question, or not even asked the question, gets that statement delivered to them. I'm going to flag you off since I've booked you in 3 weeks' time. It's a bit far out. I'm going to flag you off as a, to offer you a sooner appointment time if one came available. Distancing in the practice. It was suggested in the ADA webinar to have split lunch breaks and that sort of thing to cater for the fact that usually when the team go to lunch, it's all together and they're usually sitting within a meter and a half from each other as well. You can have the same lunch breaks, but someone can go out for a walk, someone else is sitting in the waiting room, if there's no patients about to come in, somebody else can be, you know, a couple can be sitting in the staff room. It depends on the space that you've got available. Some newer practices that have been custom built have got beautiful large staff rooms. Others that were built back in the 70s have tiny to no staff rooms. So it does depend on what's going on in your space, but a staggered lunch break can certainly help. And the staggered lunch break also often helps when it comes to answering the phone during lunch breaks and things like that as well. The waiting room, we've mentioned, still get rid of all this unnecessary stuff and certainly stuff that the patients touch. No iPads, magazines, toys, tea, coffee facilities, no water jugs and things like that. Just make sure that the waiting room seating is spaced out so people aren't going to be sitting within a metre and a half from each other if you are indeed encouraging them to come into the waiting room itself. And the ADA decision tree, you can see here that that link is right here. So all you need to do is click on that. And that decision tree comes up. This is your saving grace. This is that you've triaged the patient by phone. They've been deemed as low risk, so do whatever you need to do treatment-wise for that patient with standard PPE. The rest is tricky. Look at it. It's red and orange. It's tricky. So certainly read through it. You've all the ADA members have had this sent out to them anyway, but read through it if you're not one of the dentists that get these, when if you're a staff member instead, so you're fully aware. And Elle, I've noticed that you've joined us in late. Can I ask whether you've had access to the Australian Dental Association webinars? If you're actually, you may just be logged in, but you may be logged in and listening. I'd love to know if dental team members are being exposed to the stuff that's coming through from the Australian Dental Association. I haven't seen any. Okay. Well, I was just mentioning earlier, Elle, that I encourage under this docs, links, etc. list, the very first card here, click onto that. There's the recording there. It's a lovely assurance to all team members of the level of PPE that is required in level one and what kind of treatments and under what conditions we can get them done. It's just so important that we do take the ADA guidelines to heart and just roll out for that. They're the ones that are in the know, and this can really help assure, put the minds at rest of all your team members once they've had a read of that. So I encourage you to do that. Okay, what else? I think there was and continued waiting room report. Oh, that when we went on that bit, we're down the bottom here. Updated infection control protocol. So as well, have I got it listed there too as an attachment? Yeah, the updated safety protocol is there as well. So that's a good document. Read through it. It's a Word document, so you can adjust it and edit it the way you see fit. I updated this one today according to what the ADA webinar stated. And this is handy to then put out to all your staff members as well. You could attach it to an email. You could have it printed out and in each surgery and one at reception, one in the staff room, so everyone gets a chance to read through it all. But it's important for all of our staff to know exactly what to do and how to manage patients and each other and ourselves during level one. This was attached to the previous COVID-19 level two restart pack card. So I've reattached it again because it's still relevant. These are the questions. Where are we? These are the questions to ask patients. This is how to triage them when they've called up for an appointment time. So maintain that as well. So I hope this has helped you feel brave and go nuts and try to get back to as normal working conditions as possible. As I say, the staffing situation for some practices is going to be quite challenging, but do what you can to get your team back again. Tick, add infection control page. In the past, I've mentioned that in the last live session, I did mention that I've never seen it necessary in Australia to have a whole page on your website devoted to telling patients what your infection control procedures are. I think now it's just that little bit different. Even though there is an innate trust of the population that when they go to a hospital, a dental clinic, a medical clinic, that their health is going to be taken seriously and managed well, I think because of the additional concern that people have, and especially the confusion that people have around infection control and transmission of viruses and things, I think now it's a great chance to tell your patients, you can have faith and trust coming to us because these are the wonderful things that we're doing. And so I think adding an infection control page to your website is a plus. And I've just noticed I did actually have content written and I don't know where it's gone, but I've got it written in a Word document. So I'm going to attach that to this card. So by the time the recording comes out, that recording email comes out, it'll be attached to this card. So then you can just add that page to your website, get in touch with your IT people. You may want to have a video there reassuring everyone, but then listing what you're doing right for the health of everybody. I think that added assurance is a good thing to do. So that could be on your to-do list to get done sometime Monday to get that content loaded up onto your website. Now, how long will it take to recover from this financially? Some mindsets will be, I don't care how much money I've lost during this period. I'm just thrilled that dentistry wasn't a cause for transmission and added infection of COVID-19. And I'm just thankful that we're back on deck again. All the way to the other end of the spectrum, that is, we had financial goals in place for very good reason. We have added more equipment leases, more staff, more expenses, and we need to reach and make back that money that we lost in order to meet our financial obligations moving forward. There's a whole range of different issues there. Decide as a practice owner and manager, where are we sitting? Have that conversation with your practice, between the owners, the other dentist, practice, whoever's relevant, that leadership team, have that conversation. Are we happy? Can we financially manage just counting that, that month and a half as a loss? Or do we need to actually lengthen the number of sessions or the type of session that we're doing in order to make that money back? So within the next coming months, we're starting to recoup the loss. So how long will it take to recover financially? We will never possibly get back to where we were before. I think there's the ability to, if you need to. For example, if you're a Monday to Friday practice, open up the Saturdays, if you've lost overall, if you've lost 20% of your year to no appointments because you've had to close down, and you need to re-earn that 20%, then for the next coming months, just increase the number of hours that you're available to your patients by 20%. So it is a little bit different for every practice. I think it's a conversation that's worthy of having, because if you are in the position where you want or need to recoup those losses or part of those losses, you need to act on that straight away, no better time than right now. Because if you're going to be adding additional hours, while people may still be working from home, get them in while they're available and they're not going to work every day. Because once everyone's back at work, they'll be so reticent, understandably so, to take any time off. And their workplaces won't be able to afford to have them take time off. And so have these discussions within your team. I think it's worthwhile really being responsive to what your receptionist is telling you of the kind of conversation she's having with patients over the phone. They'll either be jumping on board, or they'll be saying, I just can't take time off work under any circumstances. I'm thankfully still working. So be responsive to what's going on in your market and just do what's required at the moment to get to make sure you're getting everything back to be a humming machine again. Again, I'm getting comments saying that practices are still experiencing patients that do not want to come in because they're fearful. I've got to say, my experience with the practices, that the two practices that have remained open as many days as they can throughout this period, even though they were only going in for two or three patients a day, those practices, you know, the minute they went to level two, they started ringing some of those patients back saying, we can get your particular treatment done. There wasn't any reticence about it. So I wonder how much of it's truly the patient's concern, how much of it's being kind of that response is because of the fear or the trepidation of the practice itself going, well, we were always just, during level one, we were seeing as fewer patients as possible and trying to get as least amount of treatment done as possible. Then we went to level two and we're starting to shift. We're trying to see as many patients as possible and get as much treatment done in level two as possible within the narrow guidelines. And now we're at level one. We're like, wow, now we can, get all the treatment done, and is that right? And am I still fearful? So I think sometimes it's what we're putting across to the patients as well. Again, which is why if we've got all the team educated about what the ADA have suggested to us as adequate and appropriate, then we can come in guns blazing. Yep, we can do this. You are safe with us. And we put that confidence across to the patient, and the patient knows just from our attitude, from the way that conversation is going, and our confidence with which we're explaining everything, that they are in safe hands. Now, the dental practice assessment, this was something I suggested, and a couple of practices have taken me up on the offer. If you are getting back, and I've got here the re-establishment of goals, I'm going to drag that up a little bit, because now we are getting to a point, maybe this week is a little bit too soon, we're trying to re-establish ourselves, and we don't want to overwhelm minds at all. And what I'll touch on more so in, because now I've only got 15, 16, 17 minutes left, I'll touch on more this next time actually. I'm going to talk about re-establishing your practice goals or identifying new practice goals. You will either already have a set of goals that you're working towards, or and you can just pick up where you left off and do what you then modify them to account for the fact that you were closed for 1 to 6 weeks and had adjusted income for that period of time. Or you might be a practice that doesn't really identify goals, you're just kind of going towards a trend of growth. We'll talk about how to identify goals, and the dental practice assessment helps you identify the kind of goals that you may have for your practice. A lot of times when you mention goals, you think it's just purely financial goals that we're talking about. And I'm not talking about that. That's one element, but there are also elements of, do we have goals for our team? Do we have goals around efficiency, productivity, new patient flow? There's a whole series of different goals that we can put in place. And when we're so close to the practice, because we're working it all the time, it's hard to see the wood for the trees. So the dental practice assessment, I'm just going to quickly attach the link to that. The dental practice assessment is a series of questions. it takes, you know, a good half hour or something like that to get through this assessment. And where is it? Online assessment. But what it does do, it helps you identify the areas of your practice that you feel could improve. And then you prioritize those improvements in terms of patient experience, which ones are the patients going to be coming into first of all. And I always think that's an effective way of prioritizing goals. No point making sure that the bookkeeper is really happy with all the goals for the practice if you've got a struggle in getting all your patients happy. I'm just going to get that link here. Copy. And there's the link. So go online, fill out that dental practice assessment. Just the process of filling it out, you'll identify some certain areas that you can improve upon as a practice. If you wanted to then send the results to me, then I will go through assess as well and send you a quick report about what I think as well. So that might be helpful for you. So I'm going to leave the re-established goals there because I am going to talk about that next time. The other thing I wanted to mention was that we have a special guest coming up on Wednesday at 5 o'clock, and it is the great Charles Kovex. So he's the co-founder of JPPS. He's also my husband. He is Australasia's passion provocateur, and he has spent the first 22 years, I think it was, he was a lawyer, and then the last 24 years, he has been Australasia's passion provocateur, provoking you to adopt different mindsets that help you tap into your passion and live a more powerful life. And he's going to come on board with us. There's a bit of information about him. I might attach this website to the card so you can have a little bit of investigation into him if you wish. But he's going to help us manage ourselves and our mindset through this re-establishment of our dental practices. And so that's going to be very interesting. So that's Wednesday, 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And of course, it'll be recorded. So if you can't be here for it, then you'll certainly get the recording. So that's going to be an exciting one. I hope you're looking forward to that. Also, use the Facebook group. I'm going to open up my Facebook here. I'm just going to pause the share for a moment, keep my friends private. Not that there'd be any real reason for it. Here we go. Okay, resume share. So the Facebook group, the C19 program members group, got a couple of members on board. And at the moment, I'm just posting my blog and Charles's podcast, YouTube podcast. It's these and any, you know, kind of useful bits and pieces up there at the moment. What I have envisaged for this group is just the members of this coaching group. But if you had ideas on, I posted this on Facebook for our patients to tell them about COVID-19, what do you think? Or I'm thinking about posting this ad in social media, what do you think about that? And, or my team members are having trouble getting back on board and feeling safe. What are you guys doing to help everyone feel safe? That it would be a space to share ideas and collaborate with one another. I come from a dental space where I was 17, so that was 1987 when I first came into dental. And it was at a time that dentists did not see each other as competition. They saw themselves as colleagues. And that has morphed into something different nowadays, whereas two dentists from doors apart will be walking up the road facing each other. One will cross the road and intentionally not walk past them directly. And they see each other. They do have this, you know, that scarcity mindset of only one of us can be successful. We can't both be successful here. So if you're having it, I need it. And if I've got it, I'm keeping it. Rather than the abundant mindset of, you know, there's enough to go around for everybody and we can all help and be collaborative with each other and support each other and cheer each other on. And as a result of that mindset, we all become much more successful than we ever dreamed to be. So if you're interested in having those sort of conversations and being both that level of support and receive that kind of support from the other members of the group, I do encourage you to jump onto this I can invite you via, I've sent email invitations to all of you. I don't know if I just copied this link for those that have lost that email and attach it to the card. I have no idea. If you can't get onto it though, just send me an email or attach a note to this card or whatever, and I'll make sure that you get a direct email invitation to the Facebook group. I'll put that there in case that's a good link to have. The other thing I wanted to encourage you to do is to use the to-do list. So this is today's list. The third one along is the to-do list. This is a whole series of topics that I'm going to touch on over the coming couple of months because it's a three-month program that you're all part of. And up the top here, I've got a little thing here that says, add your own cards with topics you would like discussed. Also, attach yourself as a member to the cards you are interested in. So if, for example, if the dental practice assessment, if five people had attached themselves to that card that they were really interested in that, I would devote the next session talking about just that, making sure that I'm keeping up with the current demands of the group. And if throughout all of these things, you're like, gosh, there's a key area that we need to hear about and Julie does not have it listed there, add a card, put it, the information in here, and I'll be sure to bring that up at the very next live session. When you go into each card, that's where you can write as much description as you like within that card. You can even attach a video of yourself talking about that card. You can do whatever you like. And when you are going through this list and you think, I am interested in half a dozen of those things, as I've mentioned during the Trello demo live session, you just simply hover your cursor over the card and hit the space bar, and you can take yourself on and off that card. The good thing about attaching yourself to a card means that the minute I modify or anybody modifies anything within that card, you get, if you've downloaded the Trello app, you get a notification straight away and an email notification straight away so you can keep up to date with goings on. Because quite often you could put a problem up within one of the cards. You could create a card with a problem on it and within an hour I can respond to it and solve your problem straight away. And then you'll get a notification that I did because I've adjusted that card. So that's a very helpful thing. Sometimes coaching clients may think, gosh, it needs to be a big issue for me to bother Julie about it, but it's just not the case. When you're part of a coaching program, I'm here for anything. And so just, you know, even you, we need a quick document, we need a quick SMS sentence. I haven't got time to write it. Can you quickly write it? Just add it in there and I'm there for you. Hey, Jill. Hey, Elle. I haven't been able to find the group on Facebook. I don't think my link worked. Yeah, quite possibly. I've had a couple of people say that. I'm just wondering if I can. What I'm going to do is, after I close this recording off so I don't bore everybody, I'm going to send you through an invite via your email. And I'll even see if I can track you down on Facebook itself and attach you as my friend. Once you're my friend on Facebook, then I can easily just send you through the invite. So I'll get there, Elle. And please do use that group as much as you like. It's going to be I think it's a handy little thing to do. Okay, so now we have gone through the use the to-do list. So I'm going to keep reminding you of a few things like this because we do take reminders. There's so much going on, as you know, nowadays. Actually, I haven't been able to find you'll have to search under R. Oh, that makes sense then, because I did have those two names on your email, L, and I'm like, is it L, Isla? That makes sense. Beautiful. I'll search you under that name straight after I close off the recording. That's great. Good on you. Oh, Ilsa. Oh, Ilsa. Is that it? Ilsa? You are funny. Yeah, good. Ilsa, what am I thinking? Isla. Ilsa, of course. And so do you go by Elle or Ilsa when I see your beautiful name pop up there? Both. Beautiful. That is marvelous. So now I can get rid of the top priority from here because it's no longer top priority. And usually ill at work. Gotcha. And I'm ticking it off because we have done I'm going to make sure, see within this re-establish goals, I can do the three buttons to the side, convert to a card. And then, voila, I've got a card there. And now I know something that I've got to do for the next session. So I hope you found that easy to follow what I just did. Once you go into this card to look at the recording, even though that by the time you'll be looking at this, you'll be watching the recording, it'll replace register here to recording link. The decision tree is there, the ADA that they put that decision tree there. Everything's done, I love it. So I'm gonna drag that over to complete it. I wanna thank you all for your time. As you know, the next session is coming up with Charles Coves, part of our group, which is gonna be wonderful, on the topic of being excited and passionate about our new normal. That's gonna be good. That's good. Excited and passionate about our new normal. I love it. If you would like to add anything else to discuss at that next live session, please add it in here anywhere you like. You can do it as an item under agenda. You can put it in activity. You can put it in description. You can put it anywhere you like. The appropriate place is the agenda, but again, I'll see it anywhere. I hope you all have a beautiful rest of your Mother's Day for the mothers out there. And I hope that the ones that haven't got their mothers right in front of them, I hope you've had a virtual meeting or a phone call and sent love in other ways to each other. But I do look forward to seeing you all and on Wednesday. I wish you the very best with reopening as fully as you can. And if you have any questions or need any more reassurances about how to practice, then please let me know. Thank you for your time today. That's my pleasure. Happy Mother's Day. I'm a stepmom to five. How exhausting. And they're all adults. Most of them are adults. So I find it pretty easy to contend with. Beautiful bunch of people, actually. Charles's twin boys are 36 today. So it's been a big day of virtual social gatherings today. Enjoy, everybody. I look forward to seeing you next time. See you later.